It's not an easy job to talk about evil. Not an easy job to talk about the shadow. When I was a kid growing up in Chicago, there was a radio program I used to love, which I'm sure many of you remember. You know, that old refrain, you know, what evil lurks in the hearts of men, the shadow knows. That's how the refrain went through the program. And the shadow knows a lot. And it's a monumental task to try to talk about shadow, because there's little that cuts at the core of our existence more than shadow. So I'll try to do it. Okay? A friend of mine, an analyst with a wide-ranging interest in cultural issues, recently sent me a letter after attending a lecture I gave on mad parts of sane people in analysis. He asked how I can see and deal with such dark aspects of people, and especially the soul-destructive acts that appear to originate and, one might say, live in the territory of madness, without becoming overwhelmed by the evil and madness in the world at large. How do you not despair about our world? He wondered. How do you go on? Now, as an analyst working hour by hour in my cave-like office, it's easy to not ask such questions. It's possible to adopt a kind of optimism based upon the fact that, as far as psyche is concerned, its imagery would insist that there is gold indeed in very dark places. But one should know that there's a wide gap between imagery and act, between psychic potential and embodied ethical reality. A 43-year-old man recently dreamed what would appear to be a dream that's tailor-made for this conference. In the dream, he entered a dark cave, and inside there were three men, thieves, who had stolen gold. Gold indeed in dark places. The dreamer was frightened, but the leader of the robbers soon turned out to be a TV actor, a song and dance man that the dreamer knew from a play he had seen. This leader tells the dreamer, go on, climb up out of here. Climb out of the cave. And with the now diminished sense of fear, he climbs up. The other robbers shoot at him wildly, but he's not hurt, and he gets out of the cave. Needless to say, he did not retrieve the gold. He entered a dark place, the cave-like inner world of his mother complex, met up with his dark, instinctual side that he has never been able to own in any way in his life, and his defenses of denial immediately took over. The drama diminished, the possibility of recovery of a self was lost. He climbs up towards his head, his lifelong refuge from his inner drives that have terrified him since infancy. How will this man ever retrieve his inner gold, symbolic of a stable self-structure? He had years and years of analysis with numerous analysts who have interpreted his shadow to him ad nauseam. No integration occurred. Why will he do better with me? The dream shows a potential, but hardly a favorable lysis. Why should I be optimistic about this man's possibilities? I'm not. But I'm also not pessimistic. For he comes to analysis, he is somehow committed to his soul. I believe his only hope lies in meeting up with his inner madness, with an inner world of fusion with the Great Mother that is so overwhelming that it totally undermines separation and threatens madness as a catastrophic result of any individuation effort. And I'll talk to you a lot more about that. But where is my shadow here? Do I carry on with some optimism amidst a process that often seems chronically circular and repetitive because I'm interested in madness? In this man's case, I believe I have seen his dream imagery change, and I have seen him change in important ways in terms of his profession and family life. But he comes to face his shadow and its instinctual life. As he does that, I'd be a fool to be optimistic. Certainly this dream mitigates against such an attitude, yet there is gold there. What would be needed to help him retrieve it? What has helped him in our work so far together? Here I have an answer I believe in, He has progressed only through work within the transference and counter-transference field. For example, when he could see that in certain ways he and I were quite the same, rather than me taking a position of being above him in consciousness and growth, his actual behavior in life changed. He had always constellated a kind of negative father figure in the men whom he had worked with. If I was not to reenact such a power position, which in fact I often found myself tending to do, if not doing, I would have to feel how much my psyche was just like this man's. Unless I do this, I'll educate him about his shadow, but I'll never help him know the suffering of his own soul as a result of his own shadow. I'll feed his shadow to his ego. I will not help him know about the suffering of his own soul. That's what Christ does when he says, turn the other cheek. That helps you know the suffering. That's the wisdom of that for me.